Today on Real Radio.
From verses 34 to 37 is the least taught on portion of Scripture, avoided by ministries all around the world because it is ignorantly misunderstood. It doesn't need to be this way. I will save you about $10,000 if you pay attention for the next 20 minutes.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are free. Praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 17 of Luke in a mini-series called Is the Kingdom of God Near? The final seven verses give us more insight into what will happen in the last days and at the time of the Messiah's second coming. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in his mini-series called Is the Kingdom of God Near?
Before that happens, certain things have to take place, and I'm going to give you just a few of them. Number one, the world would first have to see the gospel of Christianity, the message of the good news, spread around the world. Well, that's happened. Number two, the world would have to, first of all, see a global advent of cults. Jesus said before he comes back, there'd have to be a bunch of cults running around the world deceiving people. Is that not happening? My goodness, you can't even count them all. The world would first of all have to see a global economic system of trade and commerce based upon a cashless system. I don't know about you, but I never carry cash. How do you do your transactions? When you're doing internet transactions, do you use cash? You use numbers, don't you? The Bible says that before the second coming can happen, there's going to be a system of commerce that's numerical based only. You won't even touch the money. It will go from one account to another cashlessly. I just made that word up. Strategery, cashlessly. And that's how we buy things. Personally, I think it's a great system because for me, I travel a lot. So what I do is I spend money using the card, which gives me miles per dollar I spend. And then at the 30 days comes the bill, I just pay the bill. And I've gotten free money. $1, 1 mile. Sometimes $1, 2 miles. That's smart, as long as you pay it off at the end of the 30 days, right? So use the system. But here's the thing. The Bible talks about a time when this man called the Antichrist is going to come on the world scene, and he's going to take that cashless system, and he's going to put a prefix to the number, whatever the number. Maybe it's a PIN number that you and I have. Maybe it's a Social Security number. I don't know. Some bank number. I don't know. But listen how brilliant of an idea it is. He will demand a preface number to be put upon your life or my life or those who are living. He'll demand it. And the preface will be like your area code or like your zip code. But that number, the Bible tells us in Revelation 6, chapter 13, what it is. And that prefix is 666 and then your number. And nobody, the Bible says, will buy or sell in the world without the mark or the number or his name being 666. You say, Jack, you're kidding me. I'm not kidding you. 2,000 years ago, your Bible said that we'd see a cashless system of trade. And I want to suggest to you this morning that we are on the brink. Because when you see global terrorism, when you see human trafficking, when you see drug trafficking, all based upon money, there's no smarter way. Listen, here's a secret. It shouldn't be a secret. You want to stop terrorism? You don't have to drop bombs. You cut off the money flow. You want to stop prostitution? You don't blow up prostitutes, drop bombs on prostitutes. You stop the money flow. You want to stop drug trafficking? You don't blow up drug traffickers. You stop the money, believe me. You stop the money. And the Bible knows this. God knows this. You put in a numerical system and stop the money, and now everyone's registered. You know who everybody is. On top of it, the Bible says that number will be in their right hand or on their forehead. Now you can track them. Amazing. Absolutely powerful. The Bible speaks of this stuff. That would have to happen. The Bible says that there'd be an increase in world wars and threats of wars. We're living in those days, but they're going to increase. The Bible talks about listen, Jerusalem in Israel would become the most burdensome city of the world. Written 3,700 years ago, Jerusalem would be a burdensome city to the nations of the world. Is that not awesome? Every major world country and leader has to deal with whatever decisions they make, how will it affect their relationship with Israel, specifically Jerusalem, and what to do about Jerusalem. Already, and by the way, let's do him justice. He asked us this week to do this. Barack Hussein Obama, that's what he asked on the news this week. He said, call me by my middle name now. He's going to swear on the Abraham Lincoln's Bible. Did you see this? Did anybody see this? You guys. He's calling for Abraham Lincoln's Bible. He's going to swear on Abraham Lincoln's Bible, and he has declared that he's going to start using his middle name to bridge the gap between America and Islam. He said it. Don't get mad at me. He said it. Go read it. The pressure that's going to be on Barack, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for him because the pressure of what Muammar Gaddafi said, our Muslim brother. Gaddafi, the leader of Libya, is calling Barack Obama his Muslim brother. Now, having said that, can you imagine the pressure that's going to be on Hussein Obama, to coalesce and acquiesce to the demands of militant Islam around the world? I would not want to be Barack for anything. By the looks of Barack on the news recently, he doesn't want to be Barack anymore either. Can you imagine taking that position? The world is coming apart at the seams, or everything's coming right together. And the whole issue that he's already getting pressure on is, what will you do with Jerusalem and dividing Jerusalem? I promise you, the next administration will probably divide Jerusalem, because the book of Joel chapter 3 says so. Jerusalem will probably be divided, and that's the beginning of the end. The world will first have to see violent racial divisions increasing around the world. That's happening. But by far the most important thing of all would be that the world would see a regathering of the nation of Israel back into its homeland. And that's what we're seeing. Also this, verse 31 teaches us that Israel would become the focus of attention around the world. In that day, he was on his housetop. That's all we need to read. That's Jewish terminology, Jewish words, Middle Eastern talk. None of us live on top of our roof. If you do, you probably had a fight with your wife. Nobody lives on the roof. In Israel, everybody lives on the roof. You cook inside, and it's about summer, you know, 10 months out of the year, and you go out and you eat on the patio on top of the roof. It's fantastic up there. It's very well decorated. They have, it's beautiful. Jesus said, listen, if you're on top of the roof, get down and get out of town. That's very, very localized, very, very specific. Isaiah 11:11 says, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people Israel who are left. From Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, he gives list, even to the ends of the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations, and I will assemble, listen, the outcast of Israel and gather them together, the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. You may not even be a believer in the Bible, and that's got to get your attention. Jews are going home to Israel, and they weren't even born there. Why? Because God said, before I come back, I'm going to bring them back into their own land. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling to all the surrounding nations when they lay siege against it, Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day, that's that code word again, in that day that I make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the nations, and all who heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth be gathered against it. Go home today from this service, turn on the news, and listen to the UN condemnation of Israel at this hour. Even though Israel was attacked and has responded in retaliation, the UN is condemning Israel. Why doesn't the UN condemn Hamas? They won't. I have some advice for the next administration. It's completely free. What should America's foreign policy be regarding Israel? Support Israel. On what grounds? On one ground. Only one ground. Genesis chapter 12. God said to Abraham, hey, Abraham, verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, get out of the country from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you a great name, and you shall be blessing. You shall be a blessing. And verse 3, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you as a nation. You want to know what America's foreign policy should be? It's not popular. It's going to become even more unpopular. But tough. That is, you support Israel. When a nation, do some homework. When a nation stops supporting Israel, watch what happens to that nation internally and externally. God says, he didn't ask us to agree with everything Israel does. He said, support Israel. You turn your back on Israel, you're turning your back on yourself. You don't mess with that. God says, don't mess with that. Foreign policy, it should always take into consideration first your defense and protection of Israel. He says in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. What a funny thing to say. Why do you want to remember Lot's wife? Anybody remember the story? The book of Genesis chapter 19. Remember the angels came and said, Lot, you got to get out of town. We're going to fry this town. That doesn't mean party. They were going to blow the thing up. Let's go. And so Lot's trying to get his people out and he grabs his wife. I'm not kidding when I tell you this. You got to watch this though. He no doubt grabs her and they're heading out of town. And Genesis 19 says that as they were leaving the town, 19:26 says, but his wife looked back behind her and she became, in an instant, she became a pillar of salt. God judged her on the spot. He said, man, what was that all about? The word in Hebrew is nabat. She looked back, nabat. You say, what's wrong with that? Here's what's wrong with it. She nabat back at Sodom and Gomorrah. The word means to look back with deep yearning, deep longing, high regard, to look or to stare at with pleasure or for longing. We would use the word today in English, she lusted for the town. When Lot was pulling her out, her heart was in Sodom and Gomorrah. She didn't belong with Lot. She didn't belong with the people of God. She wanted in that town. That's where her heart was. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever seen maybe You're grabbing your wife and you're saying, it's time to go. We've got to go. No, no, this is the Nordstrom's once a year sale. No, you've got to go. Come on quick before God judges it. Let's go. You've got to go. And you're pulling your wife to the parking lot and she looks back. That's it. She's longing. I've got to be there. I've got to go. Come on. Her heart belonged in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus said, in the midst of all this, get out. Judgment's coming. Remember Lot's wife. And every Jew would have went, oy vey, freak him out. No, Lot's wife. Lo, lo, lo. That's no in Hebrew. Lo, lo, lo. Lot's wife, no way. Jesus is warning. In Luke 17, 26 to 30, we studied it last time. Jesus said people will be about their business when the Son of Man comes, and when that moment when the sky will illuminate and light up with his return and the second coming, he says people are going to be about their own business. Verse 26 to 30, they're going to be eating and drinking and marrying. They're going to be carrying on. They're going to be planting and selling and buying and building. And then judgment comes. He warns them. It's all about priorities. He said, remember Lot's wife, and I want to ask you today, where are your passions? What is driving your attention? These are amazing times. Listen, I know it's painful, but I thank God for these times. People are attending prayer meetings. People are crying out to God. They're losing homes. They're losing their jobs. That's sad, but I think God, who knows all things, loves to hear from his kids. Listen, if you're not praying and now you are praying, then so be it, huh? God would rather hear from you in prayer than for you to have a fat job. Think about it. What do you think is important to him? Your love relationship with him is more important than you having a fat job. But I miss my fat job. You know what? God's missed you for a long time, my friend. Maybe now he's got your attention. I don't know. What about priorities? The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:12, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you've searched for me with all of your heart. The world's not coming apart. The world is coming together. You just need to know the Bible to identify how it's coming together. Also, in verse 33, the second coming of Jesus Christ will take place after Israel has become a nation again. Of course, that happened on May 14th, 1948. But every man will be responsible for their own decision. He says in verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. You say, Jack, what does that mean? Simply this. We don't need to belabor it. Jesus is saying, if you are living for your own purpose and direction and meaning, you're going to lose your life. You will have spent your life, church, are you listening? You will have spent your life investing everything in nothing, and you'll come to the end of your life and you'll have no eternal hope. He said, but if you put those things on the lower shelf and put me first, you'll wind up finding your life and the meaning of it and the purpose of it. Translation, have the kingdom of God come within you first before it comes externally. Very important. Point number five, is the kingdom of God near? Verses 34 to 36 teaches us that he comes in the days of the great tribulation period. Jesus Christ is going to return at the end of the great tribulation in what is called the second coming. You have homework in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. That's your homework. The Bible tells us there that the Son of God will return at the end of the seven-year tribulation period in great glory to establish his kingdom. But what does that look like, and what are the things surrounding it? Verse 34 says, mark it, he's telling us that he's going to gather all tribulation survivors together. Now, at this point, verse 34, I need all of you. I cannot tell you how much I need your attention. This part from verses 34 to 37 is the least taught on portion of Scripture, avoided by ministries all around the world because it is ignorantly misunderstood. It doesn't need to be this way. I will save you about $10,000 if you pay attention for the next 20 minutes. If you're going to go to seminary to learn this stuff, you'd spend about 10 grand. So it's free. But I need you to think and listen. This is very serious stuff because beginning at verse 34 to 37, many churches and many Christians think that the description before us is the rapture. It is literally the opposite. It's not the rapture. You say, Jack, I've heard it taught as the rapture. Well, you've been taught wrong. This is not the rapture. Hang on to your seats. Take out your pen. Get ready. Jesus Christ comes in the days of the great tribulation, and he will gather all tribulation survivors, simply survivors, believers and non-believers, that make it through the tribulation period. He's going to gather them before him. He says in verse 34, I tell you, there will be, read your Bible carefully, two in one bed. The one will be taken, the other one will be left. Everybody looking at your Bible? In your Bible, if you have a good Bible, do you have italicized the word men? Some Bibles don't have men in there. Some Bibles have the word italicized. The King James translators put men in there. Guess what? In the Greek, the original Bible, it doesn't appear. It's not gender sensitive. It simply reads this way. I tell you, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other one left. Mark that down. Two will be in one bed. Jesus is given warning that there is going to be a time when someone will be left and someone will be taken. The question is going to come, where are they taken? He'll answer that at the end. Make a note, Revelation 19, verses 15 to 16. It's regarding the second coming, not the rapture. Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should strike the nations. Jesus, when he returns, is going to judge the world. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. That means he will bring the world under his control. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, the second coming. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When does this event happen? At the second coming. When's the second coming? At the end of the tribulation period. What else happens? Look at verse 35. He will separate tribulation believers from unbelievers. Believers from unbelievers. Now, this has nothing to do. Are you guys with me? Yes. Give me some feedback. Are you there? This has nothing to do with the church. This is with tribulation believers. The church is already raptured. The 144,000 Jews recorded in Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14 are preaching the gospel around the world. The Bible says that from their preaching, 144,000 of these Jewish, the Bible says they're Jews, they're men, Hebrew speaking, and they're virgins. Thank you. So, is it? Can I do it? Can I do it? Well, are you a virgin man, Hebrew speaking, from one of the 12 tribes of Israel? They're going to be proclaiming the word of God during the tribulation period. And the Bible says the number of those that come to know Jesus Christ from their preaching is a number so great that no man can number them. In fact, if you read the Bible carefully, much of the Islamic world will come to faith in Jesus during that period of time. Amazing. The land of Assyria and Egypt and Arabia will trust Christ. Amazing. But when he comes back, he's going to separate the believer from the unbeliever. Look at verse 35. I tell you, two will be grinding together. The one will be taken. The other one will be left. Are you with me? Mark this. Matthew 25 addresses this issue. Verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit upon the throne of his glory. That's the second coming. He's going to sit upon the throne of David, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25. You are not going to be on that group of people. You won't be there. This has nothing to do with the church. Listen to this. Verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the millennial kingdom that Christ will reside over when he comes back in the second coming. Jesus is going to return. Not in the rapture. That's not a return. That's an appearance. Read 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 to 18 regarding the rapture. This is the second coming. And when he returns, the Bible says that the world will see him and they will mourn and cry and say, mountains and hills, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. You thinking sweet baby Jesus is coming back? Oh, no. The Bible says that when he comes out of heaven and descends to earth, it says there that his face is so brilliant and bright that the moon and the sun will flee from his presence. That's awesome. The second coming. He will separate the sheep from the goats. In Joel chapter 3, verse 14, the Bible says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You have to decide who will be your Lord. Somebody will be your Lord. Best to decide now, by the way. You say, well, Pastor, I'm going to wait and see if all this stuff pans out, then I'll decide. Hey, when do you buy tickets to a concert? Before the concert or after the concert?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, in a presentation called Is the Kingdom of God Near? It's actually a mini-series that looks at Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 17, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament record, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, just a brief reminder that if you haven't logged on to the new realradioactive.org lately, pay us a visit, realradioactive.org. Just a quick point and click will take you to podcasts, MP3s, special offers, resources, even our television outreach, Journey with Jack Hibbs, which is seen on television as well as on hischannel.com. You'll find it all at the new realradioactive.org. Our toll-free telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can easily be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.